You got to know when to hold 'em, know when to fold 'em, know when to walk away, and know when to run. You never count your money. When you're sitting at the table, there'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porch Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking with us on this Friday afternoon, or Friday morning. We're almost to the afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. We're right around the corner. I'm getting a little ahead of myself here. 251-343-0106. Update on those of you that are talking about the fire you're seeing, Elaine John earlier down there. It's a controlled burn, a 400-acre. Man, that's a massive controlled burn. But that's what you're seeing. It sounds like this is all kind of planned, and no need to be too panicked about it. But that is hearing that from various different sources here on that smoke you're seeing down there in South Mobile County. Anyway, enough of that. Joining us now, our returning champion, who the other night, the play at the plate, we could call him Charlie Hustle here. He's Pete Rose at the All-Star game in 1970. Plowing over catchers at the plate. State Senator Chris Elliott. Senator, good morning. How are you?
A little sore.
Y'all got to see the video here. He comes charging down the third baseline. Representative Ingram there, Reed Ingram, the Sweet Creek guy, standing at the plate, blocking the plate, and just takes him out and scores the run there.
And importantly, the runner after me got in as well. The Pro Tem's chief of staff, Derek Trotter, was right behind me, so he scored that run too. So it was worth two runs.
Oh, y'all won by three. So you have to think that you had a little bit to do with that victory. Did you get, is there like an MVP trophy or something?
I think they said it was the play of the game. The Lieutenant Governor's chief staff, deputy chief staff, Jeff Gags, was the MVP. He played some college ball and did a great job. But they said we had the play of the game, and Representative Ingram was a great sport about it. I'm not sure all his team was too excited about it, but he's in the baseline, and that's what my job is, to run that baseline and get home. So we did it, but he was a good sport.
Well, you're not a 20-year-old anymore, Senator. You got to watch it there. You guys lumbering around the old ballpark there.
It certainly was funny yesterday in the State House to see the number of people with strawberries on their elbows and knees and limping around a little bit. Senator Gudger from Coleman was—I think he pulled a hamstring pretty good, and he was limping around.
Good Lord!
It's pretty funny.
Like an infirmary ward there. Anyway, hey, Senator, let's kick it off here. Talk about this. We know what happened up in Brookside. I think we talked about this last week, but we hit it again. And obviously the Summerdale, but this bill, Senator, I guess this Gudger has, that wants to put some constraints on just how much of a city or municipality's revenue could come from ticketing. That we know all around the state there are these speed traps, and they exist. Their main source of income is by riding tickets, catching speeders, and they're very aggressive about it. But the legislature finally going to like set some parameters, it looks like, or at least try.
Well, I think that the bill will pass and get signed into law. I think that's certainly on path to handle. Look, Brookside brought, is really probably the worst actor in the state, and brought that to everybody's attention. The goal of the legislation is not to curtail law enforcement. It really isn't even to curtail law enforcement from writing tickets, but rather to remove the profit incentive, if you will, after a certain level. So the legislature is basically saying, look, if more than 10% of your annual budget is derived from writing traffic citations, then that's probably unhealthy, and that's more than it needs to be. And what we found through our research really across the state was only a very few, a handful, probably less than a dozen when all is said and done, would fall into that category, that are really probably the ones that need to be curtailed. And you find all too often, you and I have talked about police jurisdictions as well, that these these are out in their police jurisdiction that has some main thoroughfare, be it an interstate or a big four-lane highway or something like that, and they're out there for the purpose of really trying to see what kind of revenue they can get from folks that are passing through. And that's what the legislation really tries to curtail, is that motive, that profit motive, if you will, but not to impact, the other 450 municipalities around the state that are doing it right and just providing a law enforcement service.
Yeah, you know, it sounds like you have a few bad actors, and now that is the I guess it's got some of these other municipalities that are the good actors. They don't necessarily like the way this is playing out. You're putting this out there, but I don't see any way around it. The politics, Senator, it seemed to me that there's enough momentum here that people are expecting y'all to do something, right?
Well, and I would agree with that. And I'll say this. I think that it's clear that Brookside was a bad actor, and what was happening there was something that needed to be stopped, and why the legislature is stepping in. I don't necessarily think this legislation is targeting bad actors, but rather maybe simply saying, look, this has the potential to get you in a spot where you may become a bad actor if you've got a police chief that's, or a mayor or a council that's not watching it as closely as they should. Let's just go ahead and remove the incentive, and that way you won't end up going down a road as Brookside did, and you can stay out of trouble. And this is a good guide rail, if you will. If you don't go over this, then you don't have the incentive to go over it, then you don't become a bad actor. And it removes the opportunity to get in a Brookside situation. It solves that problem before it occurs again.
Yeah, and I just, if the legislature didn't do so, I mean, maybe they could have waited till the next session or whatever, but they had to do something here. It's just that AL.com has fixated on this target, and it's got national attention. It just seems like it's one hard to let go. And so here we are today. Let's move on. Senator, tell me this. We're winding down here. You only got, 4 days left now. You got, I guess, next week, and then you got to leave kind of a day out there to override any vetoes if necessary. But it looks like a lot of the some of the stuff, I see the charter school bill is pretty much rest in peace, but that a lot of the big ticket stuff, it's either they're going to give it a shot, or there's some people saying this year is just not the year for that.
Yeah, and I think it's pretty clear, at least by Senate rules, you have to have unanimous consent to transmit a bill next week to even get it to the House, and it hasn't passed already, so you really are going to have the chambers dealing with the other chambers' legislation, so you're not going to see a whole bunch of Senate bills passing next week in the Senate. They need to have already done that by now. And then the same thing really with the House bill. So you'll see a couple of sporadic committee meetings coming up to handle the balance of that. But that should be pretty much the end of that, and we'll have a good idea and know what is coming or not coming by then. You can see what's out there on the menu to have. I think the special order calendar for the House is already out there, so a lot of those more controversial or big ticket items that are not handled yet, you're correct in saying will likely not be in.
I'm going to ask you to put on your handicapping hat again. My former Yellowhammer colleague, now political consultant, Sean Ross, said this on Wednesday. He thinks we could see after the primary runoffs and everything, a special session for gaming, that the governor would feel emboldened by her big nomination win, and this being a one-party state, going to cruise to reelection. And that if the vote totals are big enough that we could see a special session to still get this on the November ballot. I find that to be just an incredible a long shot, but what do you think of that bold prediction?
That would be interesting. I have not seen this governor, at least recently, really involved in pushing legislative priorities, frankly. So that would be a little out of character. You know, this governor was very involved in the gas tax conversation and pushed that very hard. But I have not seen a legislative agenda from the governor's office since then, and really at all. And I think that's kind of curious. I do think there's a path forward on gaming. I think that there is a small appetite in the House to deal with lottery. I think there is an appetite overall to deal with a gaming commission that gets some control over the existing gaming. And I think there's a way to cobble something together that could pass. I do not think we are necessarily there yet, and I do not see a special session to focus on that right after the election being the way to get that done. I would be surprised to see that.
I guess the theory here is learning from the Siegelman mistake was a special election isn't a way to go because then it's a low turnout, and in low turnout elections, things like that tend to be sitting ducks. Because all you gotta do is mobilize enough no votes, it just becomes a game of addition and subtraction. But if you get it on the ballot for like a midterm or a presidential election, then you stand to be a lot more successful.
I think you're correct. And the goal is for it to be successful, then yes, that's probably the way to proceed. My goal is to get it so that the voters can vote on it. That's what I'm shooting for and what I'm trying for. I don't think this is a topic for a special election. This topic has got enough special interest involved in it already. I think we ought to have this in a regular, election, November election, and deal with it then. I don't want this to be more influenced by special interest than it already is.
Joined by State Senator Chris Elliott here on the program, a returning champion. Senator, something you're talking about just now, interesting. The governor not really pushing legislation, never really having many legislative priorities, which he did. I mean, rebuild Alabama, it was executed almost flawlessly to a T. It got through, and without even batting an eyelash, next thing you know, it's being signed into law. But it just, even though she's had success and her administration's had some success at pushing bills, that is like they look at it as something they're not really, they don't really want to deal with. And I just use the prison example that they didn't push the prison plan. They didn't use the prison. They wanted to go that end around the legislature, do it through the executive branch and lease and, we were told was, perfectly fine, dandy, and legal. But it seems to me that, you guys got it through done in a special session. And you had to, say obviously there was some ARPA money there or some CARES Act money there, whatever it was, that helped move that along. But, when you look at this administration and not really dealing with the legislature, I mean, I think they're leaving a little bit on the table there that if they wanted to have some legislative priorities, they probably could be successful.
Well, I think you're right, and I'll tell you, there's been changes in the governor's staff over this quadrennium, and that may have something to do with it. It may not. I don't know. But you're correct. I think if this governor wanted to have a robust legislative agenda, then she certainly could. I just haven't seen one other than the Rebuild Alabama Act. And that's an issue that, in all fairness, has been around for a while, right? I mean, Governor Finley had looked at that issue, and that's an issue that, counties and cities and road builders and BCA and all kinds of interest groups, if you will, were all very interested and seeing that pass and helping that through, but I have not seen a big issue package that has been spearheaded by the governor's office that has moved through. And even on other legislation, involvement frankly, I think, you know, limited until after it passes. They take almost a kind of wait and see what passes method to deal with legislation, and then deal with it through executive amendment, or you'll hear comments from the governor's office, and I'm sure you've gotten these before, that says, you know, the governor's legal counsel is reviewing the legislation and will decide whether to sign it or not. So it's almost one of those, hey, we'll look at it and see what passes. That's a method to deal with the legislature. It's not one other governors have used, but it seems to be the one that this one is.
It's just curious because I think she could be even more effective. Now, look, she's expanded, the role of the executive branch. And COVID is COVID, and COVID is justification for it. But she's been one of the more, and I don't know if it's the people she has around her that we can attribute this to, but she has been one of the more successful governors in expanding the power of that office since probably George Wallace.
I think you're probably right. And don't get me wrong, as a legislator, I'm not asking for the governor to wade into the legislative process any more than this one has. I'm perfectly fine with it like it is. But I think you are correct. I mean, this governor, like it or not, has wielded a tremendous amount of executive authority and has done a lot of things that we have not seen in recent past with that executive authority. Some of which has been questioned pretty significantly, but she's done it nonetheless.
It's kind of one of these interesting times in Alabama political history, but there seems to always be a nonstop, perpetual, interesting time in Alabama political history, I suppose, these days. Anyway, hey, Senator, we got to get out of here. We're up against the break, but you're always very kind to come on, and let's talk again next week.
We will do it. Enjoy this beautiful weekend.
You do the same. That's State Senator Chris Elliott there on the line. Let's get a break here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
A couple guys in first class on a flight from New York to Los Angeles. Kind of making small talk, killing time.